All right, let's dive in today. We've got a case that's really interesting, especially if you're into tax law. You know, those situations where it gets kind of tricky to tell what's a business expense and what's someone just spending their money? It's
Definitely.
United States v. Black, went all the way to the D.C. Circuit back in 88.
Oh, yeah, that's classic.
It is, right. And it still matters today, even with all the changes in the financial world. So, okay, get this. We've got Fred Black, high-income taxpayer. Hasn't filed his tax return since, get this, 1975.
Wow.
And on top of that, he's got a $3 million lien from the IRS. So the question is, did he use his corporations to avoid, paying taxes on all that money? We're talking mortgages, credit card bills, even like paying household staff, all paid for with checks from his companies.
Yeah, that's the core of it. Black ended up convicted on three counts of tax evasion. In this case, it really highlights some key legal areas. First, how do you actually prove tax evasion?
Right.
Then, what happens when the jury instructions get a little messy?
Oh, interesting.
And maybe the most dramatic part is, how do you balance a judge's role in like guiding the jury with the jury's independence to make their own decisions, especially when they're stuck, deadlocked?
Okay, so much to unpack there. Let's start with those corporate expenses. Sounds like the government basically followed the money, right?
Exactly. They looked at how Black was spending and said, hold on, this isn't for business, it's personal. And they had a whole stack of checks to prove it, directly connecting those company funds to his lifestyle.
Ah, so it's not just a hunch. They've got hard evidence.
Yeah.
That's got to be powerful.
Oh, absolutely. And this leads us to the two main ways the government proves tax evasion. Think of it like building a house.
Okay, I like where this is going.
One way is the specific items method. You've got all the bricks laid out showing exactly where the unreported income is, like those checks in Black's case, that's your bricks.
Okay, got it.
But then there's the indirect method, which is trickier. It's like you're trying to figure out the house is built, but you can't see all the individual bricks.
Oh, so you got to look at the big picture.
Right. You look at the size, the value, and try to figure out if the materials match what was declared.
So with the indirect method, the government has to prove that the extra building materials didn't come from somewhere legitimate.
Exactly. But in Black, they had those checks, those specific bricks, so they didn't have to worry about disproving other sources.
So Black's defense that these were loans, that all came down to whether the jury believed him.
You got it. The evidence itself was pretty strong, so it became a credibility issue. And the jury, they didn't buy it.
Now, this is where it gets even more interesting. Apparently, the judge messed up a little with the jury instructions, mentioned the bank deposits method, even though that wasn't what the government used here. Could that have thrown the whole case off?
It definitely could have caused confusion. The jury might be thinking, wait, are we supposed to be looking at bank deposits or those checks? Seems like a small thing, but these details can really change how a jury understands what they need to decide.
Right. But Black didn't win on appeal, did he?
Nope, he didn't. The DC Circuit basically said, yeah, the judge made a mistake, but let's look at the whole picture. They said that even with the error, the instructions still pointed the jury to the right evidence, those checks.
Okay.
Plus, and this is important, Black's lawyer didn't object to the instructions at the time.
That's a classic courtroom mistake.
It is, and it makes appealing later much harder. It's a good reminder for lawyers, timing is everything. But for everyone else, it shows how courts try to be fair, even when there are technical errors.
Okay, so we've got the government strategy, a little bit of courtroom drama, but then there's the jury deliberations themselves. They took days, which led the judge to give those anti-deadlock instructions, basically, encouraging them to reach a verdict. Was that too much? Like, was he pressuring them?
That's a good question. We want juries to decide independently, right?
Right.
But here's the thing. The judge only gave the full Thomas charge, which is a specific instruction for deadlocked juries, once. And get this, after that, the jury acquitted Black on several counts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that suggests they weren't just giving in to
They
pressure.
were actually thinking it through, even with the judge pushing them a bit.
Exactly. The fact that they had different verdicts on different counts, it shows they were making their own decisions.
This whole case, it really gives you a look inside how a courtroom works, You see how judges try to balance keeping things moving and respecting the jury's right to deliberate.
It does, and it brings up a fascinating question about intent. Black's defense was that those were loans, he was going to pay them back. But how do you prove something like intent? We'll dig into that in the next part of our deep dive.
Welcome back to our deep dive on United States v. Black. Right before the break, we were talking about those jury deliberations and the judge kind of nudging them along. But now let's get into Black's defense. His argument was that all that money from his companies that he used for, you know, personal stuff, those were loans. He planned to pay him back.
Ah, yes, the loan defense. It pops up a lot in tax cases, but it's not always a winner.
Right, because if those really were loans, they wouldn't be taxable income. So did the courts buy Black's argument?
Well, not really. They looked closely and said, we need to see more than just the word loan. We need to see what actually happened. And what they found was not much. There wasn't much paperwork for these supposed loans. No repayment schedule, no interest being paid, nothing concrete to support his claim.
So it's like saying, hey, I borrowed your car, but there's no agreement, no date to return it by. It starts looking less like borrowing and more like, well, just taking the car.
Exactly. And to make things worse, remember that big IRS lien Black had? $3 million. That didn't help him look like a trustworthy borrower. The court basically said the jury had every right not to believe his story, especially with no real proof to back it up.
So this shows that in tax law, what actually happened matters more than what you call it. It's substance over form.
Absolutely. Imagine you bake a cake, but you call it a healthy salad. It's still a cake.
Love that analogy.
Mm-hmm.
But proving intent can be tricky, can't it? You can't read someone's mind.
You're right. You have to look at the whole picture. And in Black's case, there were some red flags. His business setup was complex, plus his history with taxes. It all kind of painted a picture of someone hiding income from the IRS.
So it wasn't mind reading. It was more like connecting the dots.
Mm-hmm.
And the more dots, the clearer the picture.
Right. This case is full of lessons for, well, everyone. For taxpayers, it's a big reminder. If you're going to call something a loan, treat it like one. Get it in writing. Have a plan to pay it back, maybe even pay interest. Don't just assume it'll be okay.
Yeah, the IRS doesn't mess around.
Exactly. And for our lawyer listeners, this case shows how important it is to really understand those specifics of proving income. And again, if you think something's wrong with the jury instructions, object. Otherwise, it'll be hard to appeal later.
It sounds like United States v. Black is like a masterclass in tax law, evidence, how juries work, all in one real life story.
It is. It's a great example of how complicated tax evasion can be. And it shows that both the rules and the spirit of the law matter.
And, of course, it shows how important juries are. They have to sort through everything and make these big decisions.
They do, and it's not easy.
So what's the takeaway for our listeners? Whether you're a tax expert, a law student, or just someone who likes legal stuff, what can we learn from Black?
Well, it reminds us that tax law is full of little details, and the legal system itself is like a complex dance. So understanding those details is really important.
It's like learning a new language.
Yeah.
The better you know it, the better you can handle things.
Right. And this case also shows why getting advice from a good lawyer is so important. Especially with taxes, those rules can be tricky.
Absolutely. Okay, before we wrap up United States v. Black, let's think about the bigger picture. This case is from 1988, and things have changed a lot since then, especially with money.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Back then, it wasn't as common for people to have side hustles or run their own businesses. Now, it seems like everybody's got a side gig, right?
It's true. The whole landscape has shifted. We've got the gig economy, online platforms, cryptocurrency. It's all woven together. And with all that change, there are new tax challenges too, right?
For sure. Think back to Black's time. You tracked income and expenses with like paper and receipts. Now we've got online transactions, digital marketplaces, and Bitcoin, which is like, it's its own world.
So could you see a case like Black happening with, say, Bitcoin or NFTs?
Right.
Where it's hard to tell what's personal use and what's an investment.
Absolutely. Those core principles we've been discussing, substance over form, documentation, understanding the intent, those are always relevant. The IRS isn't going to be fooled just because it's happening online.
Right, right. So like if someone uses company money to buy a fancy NFT, but they're also, you know, showing it off in their virtual world or using it as their avatar.
Yeah.
The IRS might wonder, is this for the business or are you just getting a cool collectible?
Exactly. They'll want to see that business purpose. And like we learned from Black, they need more than just your word. You got to have the paperwork.
Which can be tough, especially for people who are new to online businesses or crypto. Keeping up with all the rules is hard.
Oh, it definitely is. That's why getting help from a good tax professional is so important. Someone who understands all this new stuff.
Like having a guide in a complicated maze helping you avoid the wrong turns.
Perfect analogy. And remember, it's always better to be safe than sorry, especially when it comes to taxes.
Good advice. Well, I think that brings us to the end of our deep dive into United States v. Black. We've talked about so much. How to prove tax evasion, what happens with juries, that whole question of loans versus income. And we saw how a case from, what, 30 years ago still has lessons for us today.
It's been fascinating, and it shows how much we can learn from just one case.
To all our listeners, we hope this deep dive has given you something to think about when it comes to tax law, the importance of keeping good records, and just, you know, all the challenges of managing your finances these days. Knowledge is power, as they say. And we'll keep bringing you more deep dives to keep you thinking. Until next time.